It is always said that if I don't if I don't take advantage of the priesthood of Christ, I'm going to run to him toward the advocacy of Christ. That when I don't allow him to help me in my weaknesses, because in the wilderness, if I'm not being helped, I'm going to fall into temptation, and the temptation is going to bring forth sin, and then I'm going to run to him as an advocate. So brethren, let's run to him and be close to him as our great high priest. But he doesn't take hold of the angels. After all, chapter 1, most of it is contrast between the one who is greater than all the angels. But he takes the seed of Abraham. It's a very interesting takes hold of the seed of Abraham. There are, if I'm not mistaken, the Lord Jesus is spoken of him in three different ways as far as seed is concerned. He is the seed of the woman, the book of Genesis. And the seed of the woman is in relationship to the victory that he will win on the cross. He shall bruise his head. Then we are we know of Christ as being the seed of David, right? We see it in Romans, and of course, the son of David, and that's in relationship to his kingship. It's very important to look at it, that he took that seed upon him because he is the rightful heir of the throne. But when it comes to the seed of Abraham, and here taking hold, whether he took upon himself the seed of Abraham or taking hold of the seed of Abraham, I'm going to look at it in two different ways. The seed of Abraham is those that are saved, right? Because Abraham is called the father of all them that believe. He was the example of one that had faith in what God has said, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But I want to take also the seed of Abraham in relationship. I want to just think of that for a moment, of what Abraham was, although the scripture doesn't mention him as the priest. But he is the one that acted as a priest as well. He is the one who can come before God and intercede. If there is five righteous, if there is 10 righteous. And how wonderful to see that the Lord Jesus in humanity is took hold of the seed of Abraham, is one that have heart for man, but also have zeal for the holiness of God himself.
Perhaps we can draw that line a bit further. We saw this morning that Abram was a prophet.
Yes.
And now we see Abram and his seed in connection with those that the Lord can identify with as a priest. And we see Abram also as a priest. And later we see Abram as a king. So what I'm trying to say is this. The Lord Jesus is the perfect prophet, as the perfect priest, as the perfect king, as we will see later in the next session, he has also those who represent him. And so just keep that in mind. I just want to draw your attention to that fact. The Lord is unique, of course, but he has a whole company that is with him. Here he has a company, the seed of Abram, that he can identify with and that he can sustain.
What about the thought we sing in a hymn, to all our prayers and praises, Christ adds his sweet perfume. Is that a function of priesthood as well?
Yeah, I think we're going to get to that in the last section, in chapter 7 and into 8. I just wanted to make one more comment, and then we can move on to that section, and that is the idea of succoring those that are tempted. I think we want to put a handle on that a little bit so that we can really appreciate the Lord Jesus for what he does. We live in a fallen condition, and we are, on every side, we're tempted. We're tempted to forget God. We're tempted to go it alone. We're tempted to live independently from God. We're tempted in so many ways to give in to our selfish desire. The Lord was presented with those three concepts when Satan met him in the wilderness, and he appealed to his ability and power to make stones into bread. He appealed to him on, you know, the basis of, you know, aggrandizement. See all this? I'll give it to you. And, you know, he appealed to him on so many different levels that, and he was triumphed over it because of who he is. And I want us to really, you know, lay hold on that, is that we live in a fallen world. We have natures that react to that fallen condition. And those temptations are very real for us. And so what it does for us to preach, and I didn't read the verse and I didn't realize it, is that in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3, it reminds us that we must consider the high priest. We have to consider, we have to meditate and think about what the Lord Jesus Christ is presently doing in order to help us to avoid yielding to temptation. And I think when that's the appreciation that we have of the Lord Jesus. We appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done in sacrifice, because that's once for all. We have no more condemnation for sin, and we walk away with, you know, pretty much satisfied condition or reaction. But we are constantly bombarded with the temptations to give in to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And as we're tempted, we look to the one who met those temptations and triumphed over them and was not affected by them. And this is the one who's able to help us, takes us in his hand and says, you don't have to give in to that. And I think that's something that we can really appreciate and lay hold on it and take with us.
I think somebody has said before that if we don't appreciate the Lord Jesus as the priest, we will have to go to him as an advocate. I think somebody said that. It reminds me of the Luke chapter 22 in the garden. This is what he said to the disciples. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And that's and then he goes on a few times to say, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.
The Lord Jesus went through the temptations that the enemy presents before us. Mm-hmm. He did not go through the temptations because of the lack of prayer. Mm-hmm. He did not go through the temptation of James, what he speaks about. Not everyone that is tempted say, I'm being tempted by God, but they are being tempted by their own flesh. The Lord Jesus did not go through these temptations. He went through temptations that the enemy was the source behind it, as Brother Mark have shared with us. The difference is really there was nothing in Christ to respond to these things. In fact, we hear it amongst Christianity that even leaders of Christendom, that Christ could have sinned, but he didn't. And that is really a wicked approach toward it. There was nothing in Christ himself, of him being who he is, that could respond to sin itself. But he set the foundation to lead him, really, to chapter 4, that he was one that is also not only tempted, and he stood the temptation, and we need to do so, but he is a merciful and faithful high priest. We have to understand this. Merciful in relationship to man, but faithful in relationship to God. That the Lord Jesus is not going to display mercy on the expense of the glory of God. You see how he does it? He does it in mercy toward mankind, but he does it as far as God is concerned. He is faithful to him. So he's never going to compromise the glory and the honor of God in displaying mercy. They go together. But other than being tempted, and there is one part that maybe we should speak about for 1 minute and move us, is that it leads us to Hebrews 4, that there is one that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Mm-hmm. And what are the feelings of our infirmities? They are not the temptations, you know. But the Lord understands very well. For example, if you feel like you've been rejected by a friend, the Lord knows what you're going through. He's been rejected. When you might consider, well, you know what, the Lord is thirsty. Somebody is thirsty, they can't even have. The Lord went through it himself. Hungry, the Lord went through it himself. So in every aspect of life, whether in death or life, whatever it is, The Lord Jesus being this great high priest is really one, the scripture says, we don't have a great high, that is not touched with the feeling. That makes it in a positive way, that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that whatever circumstances, dear brethren, you and I might go through, the brethren might not understand. The brethren might not be sympathetic. But we have one that went through it Himself. And He can be there to help and support and sympathize with what you and me might be going through.
But He cannot sympathize with sin.
Oh,
if we have a thought to do something that's not, He cannot sympathize with it.
He judges sin.
Yeah.